How do you know he's alive and well? He's living in me. Amen. To tell the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Certainly is good to be here with you this morning. Amen. I wonder if we could just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we change the order of the service here this morning. Amen. If you have a need on your heart, you just lift it up to him this morning. Maybe it's not even something physical this morning, but you just need him to speak to you. So many times we come into church just with a need in our life, and we don't even know what it is. We cannot put our finger on it, but we know that he knows. And we know that he can meet that need. He can speak. He can minister to us. Amen. Father, as we bow our heads, Lord, this morning, Father, down to the dust of the earth from which you pulled these bodies, Lord, to create us in your image, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can come with a living gospel this morning, Lord. We can come under the shed blood of a risen Savior, Lord. We can come with a sure word of prophecy, Father, a word that you've given us, Lord, that is a sure foundation, Lord. It won't pass away. It'll outlast the greatest thing that we can think of, Lord. It'll outlast the heavens and the earth. Your word still remain, Lord. So we just trust in that tonight or this morning, Father, that your word has everything that we have need of. And Lord, that you're here this morning, Lord, to make that word live in us, Lord. That you're here to, Lord, take that word and serve it to us, as it were, Father, like a gourmet, a banquet meal, Lord. To give each one the portion that they have need of this morning. Lord, to go and to meet them right in their hearts and their life, Lord, right where they have a need, Lord, right where they have a little empty spot, Father, or a place where the enemy has attacked them, Father. Lord, you can go and bring a balm, Lord, a salve, oh God, a healing portion from your word. Lord, and you can touch that life, Father. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would do that this morning. Lord, that you would show, Lord God, that you're alive and well. And that you're living in your church, Lord, and your bride here on earth, Father. We just surrender to you, Lord. We ask you to have your way. We ask you to speak to our hearts, Lord. We don't want to be mindful, Lord, of the things of life, the things of earth, Lord, but we want to be mindful of the things of God this morning. We want our hearts and our minds to be focused on you, Lord. We just pray for our pastor this morning, Lord. Brother and Sister Baker, Father, that you'd just be with them. No doubt they're finishing up their Sunday services, Lord. They're in Nigeria, Father. And maybe getting ready to take a rest. But Father, I pray that you just be with them, Lord. That you prosper their journey, Lord. That you just be with them and bless them in all ways, Father. Pray that you'd keep them safe as they travel home. Lord, we just love you and thank you. We commit this time into your hands, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's just read a portion of scripture here this morning. Thank you, musicians, amen. Just greet you in the name of the Lord. Happy Easter Sunday to each one, amen. And Easter is one of those holidays that we respect and honor and celebrate it year round. Amen. Amen. Every time we come to church, the reason that we gather on Sunday, we're taught, is because that's the resurrection day. Right. Yeah. Amen. That's why we gather on Sunday to honor the resurrection of Christ. Amen. So this morning I'd like to just speak to you on the witness of resurrection as a subject. Amen. And we'll read here in Genesis chapter 3, and then also like to read in Job chapter 19. Now, the scripture here in Job chapter 19, this is, Brother Baker's been taking this as a text a little bit, so I thought, well, why not continue use that, amen, as we speak about the resurrection, amen, of Christ. But we have Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Amen. And then Job 19:23. "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another, and though my reins be consumed within me."
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. So we just want to speak about the witness of resurrection. Amen. Amen. We know that in the Bible, the economy of God, things of God, many of the ways that we understand these things spiritual is through the law of contrasts. Amen. Where we see hot and cold, and we see light and dark. Amen. And the Bible speaks about Christ being the light of the world. And we understand that spiritual concept by this physical light and darkness. Is that right? And we also have the contrast of life and death. And we understand that if you look at something like cold and heat, really, there is no such thing as coldness, right? Coldness is just what we speak about as an absence of heat. And not to get, you know, too scientific on us this morning, but when they measure a temperature, and you say, oh, you know, it's cold or it's hot or whatever, a temperature is actually measuring how much heat exists. And you get down to what they call absolute zero, which means that there's absolutely no energy there. There's no heat energy, right? So cold doesn't cold isn't a thing. It's just not hot, right? It's absence. It's lack of heat. And same way with darkness. If you take away light, you have darkness. Amen? Darkness is just the absence of light. If we turn out the lights, we will have darkness, right? But when light comes, light pushes out darkness. Amen. Wherever light exists, darkness is pushed back. Is that right? Amen. So when we see darkness or a spot of darkness or a shadow or something, it's just some place that the light hasn't pushed the darkness out. Is that right? Amen. Well, life and death is the same thing. In the beginning, we had life. God is life. Amen? Amen? And that's the way it was. In the Garden of Eden, it was life. There was no death because there was just life. There was just a fellowship with God, a unity with God. And so death didn't exist. Death had no meaning. It was just life. Amen for us. But sin put a barrier between us and life. Amen. That's what happened when man fell in the garden, is a barrier was put so that death or darkness could be there in the absence of life. Amen? Amen. It was a chasm. It was a barrier that we couldn't cross. That a separation was created between us and God, us and eternal life. And so death, just like a shadow or a coldness, began to set in on the human race. And it doesn't happen all at once, but it slowly takes over, right? It's something that, if you've heated something up in the microwave or on the stove and you set it out on the counter, it starts out hot, but it slowly cools down, right? As the heat drains from it, it's absorbed and it dissipates from it. It loses the heat. It becomes cold. And man slowly began to experience sickness and pain and heartache, and all these things began to come in as life left. Amen? Amen. Death setting in on our members. The body, our bodies fallen by nature now and corrupted and cursed by sin. Amen? But God made a promise all those years ago. Even as he was cursing the serpent, he was prophesying. Amen? He was cursing the serpent and telling him, this is what you'll be, and there will come a seed that's going to bruise your head. There's going to come a change. There's going to come a time when all of this will be reversed. Amen? There's going to come a time where this curse will be lifted, where the darkness will be pushed back. Now it has a preeminence. It has it permeates everything. But there's coming a time, that's what he's saying in this prophecy, when thy head will be bruised by the seed. Amen. He made a promise that still echoes in our hearts and our ears today. Amen. A serpent bruiser. Hallelujah. Even as that curse was falling, a promise that life is coming again. Hallelujah. Amen. The curse of sin is not forever. That it's temporary. And this is what we call resurrection. Amen. Something that was alive, it died, and it became alive again. Mankind had eternal life. Mankind died through sin. But now, through the cross, we are experiencing resurrection in the souls of everyone that comes to him. Amen? It's a resurrection of the soul. Hallelujah. Coming back to life again. Restoring what we had at the beginning. Amen? Hallelujah. That is what was prophesied in Genesis. One that would come. Job prophesied, I know my Redeemer lives. I know I'll experience this resurrection through Christ. I know that my body will be part of this resurrection. Amen? I know that though the skin worms destroy it, I know my body will be restored. And I know that I'll see him with my own eyes. Not another, I'll see that one. Amen. That was what was prophesied to us in Genesis. Amen? Amen? A restoration of what we should have had at the beginning. Right. Amen. Amen? Oh, I was just meditating on that this morning. And you know, oftentimes we talk about, we sing that song, I took back what the enemy stole from me. Right. Amen? I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Right. And how victory through the cross has given us back what we were supposed to have. We're fighting the enemy. We're going into the, we're like Israel marching into Canaan land to take what belongs to us. Right? What was promised to Abraham, they were taking possession of. And we take possession of what God has promised to us. Amen? And it's not a, It's something that belongs to us. And, you know, I have to admit, I had never looked at it quite this way before. If I could explain as best as I can, you know, sometimes, and maybe this is the way you looked at it. I was thinking of take back what the enemy stole from me, right? And thinking, well, yeah, you know, like if I get sick, I'm taking back my health, right? Or if I've lost my joy, I'm taking back the joy that I had already that he stole from me, or my peace that, but it's more than that. It's more than that. It's actually, brother, sister, what we are doing is we're taking back what we had in the beginning. What we would have been if there had not been a fall. You understand? If there had not been a fall, if you had have come, you would have never experienced anything but peace. You would have never experienced worry. You would have never experienced fear. You have never experienced sickness. That's what you're taking back. Amen. You're taking back the right to that kind of life. Amen. That only came in by sin. But sin has been defeated. Amen. So you take back what the enemy, he stole from you, the right to live a life that's carefree. The right to live a life that's free from the devil. Amen. As a child of God, the way you're supposed to live.
Right.
Hallelujah. That's resurrection.
Right.
He's giving you back that life.
Right.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good news this morning.
Amen.
Amen. This whole story is good news. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at some more scripture here in the Old Testament. We'll look at what we're going to do is read some scriptures through how the Old Testament is speaking of resurrection. And then we'll look at the resurrection itself. Would that be all right this morning?
Yeah.
We won't keep you too long. Amen. Easter service. I forgot to remind everybody, we will have a youth service tonight.
Amen.
So we look forward to that. Amen.
Amen.
But let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. You say, well, this is the New Testament. Yes, but it's speaking of the old. It's Hebrews 11:35, speaking of all of those Old Testament saints, right? And it says, women received their dead raised to life again. Speaking about what happened, what God did in those Old Testament saints' lives. Amen. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And listen to this, that they might obtain a better resurrection.
Amen.
Many were raised to life again. The widow's son in Zarephath was raised by Elijah.
Right.
Amen? Raised to from the dead.
Right.
The Shunammite woman's son was raised by Elisha.
Right.
Amen? Died, raised again, had to die again.
Right?
Right? The man thrown on Elisha's bones.
Right.
Amen? Came back to life.
Right.
Showing that there was resurrection power there. But that man had to die again. Amen. But they were looking for a better resurrection. They were looking forward to something. One of the soul. Amen. Not just to be born and die and raised and die again. But a permanent resurrection. Hallelujah. Looking forward to the one who would come. The one who had given that resurrection power. The one that the Old Testament was speaking of. Amen? Prophecies that were going forth, that were speaking of the one to come.
Amen.
In Daniel 12:2, it says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life. Some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel speaking of that great resurrection at the end. Amen. When all will raise for judgment. Psalm 16:10. This is speaking of Christ. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He'll not stay there, but he would come forth. Amen. And in Hosea 6:2, after 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see that prophecy right laying in there? When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he go to the cross, he'd be an offering for sin, but yet then he will see his seed and prolong his days. Amen. Resurrection, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Hallelujah. Amen. These prophecies speaking forth of death, burial, and resurrection. And then, and of course we know Jonah was a type also of this. Jesus himself said it in Matthew 12:40. Says, for as Jonas was in the 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. So he will come and he will have resurrecting life. He will have resurrecting natural life and resurrecting eternal life. Amen. He will raise the natural dead, but he will also raise the soul to eternal life. Elijah and Elisha, they were able through the power of God to raise the natural dead. But those that were raised still needed a Savior. Amen. Amen? But Jesus showed that he had that life. Amen. Amen. And he started by raising the natural dead, showing he had authority over death. Right? He raised Jairus' daughter, raised her from called her forth out of the grave. Amen. He raised a young man. They were having a funeral for him. Amen. And he showed that he had resurrecting power when he went to the funeral and he raised that young man from the dead. Amen. And then at the grave of Lazarus. Amen. Probably the most well-known miracle. The grave of Lazarus, he called out and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And we're taught in the message that if he had just called out, come out, all the graves would open. Because he had the voice of the resurrection. He was that voice. Amen. Let's look at that here in John chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus said unto her, speaking of Martha, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She believed the resurrection. She believed that. Not all the Jews that in that day believed it, but she believed the word of God. Amen. And Jesus said unto her, I am that resurrection. Amen. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Believest thou this? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I am the source of that life. Amen? If death is the absence of life, he is the life come to push death back away. Amen. To push the shadow away. To let the light shine. Amen? Amen? And push it back. Right. And he did it. He called Lazarus out of the grave. Showing that he had power. Amen? Amen. Both to heal the body. Yes. Because he had already done that. He had been healing and healing and healing, but he healed Lazarus' body. He had to, right? Healed his body, but also that he could call beyond the grave. That there was a barrier there that was conquered by him. That even those that had gone to that place would hear and obey his voice. Amen? Hallelujah. But I love Martha's testimony. She says, I know he's going to raise again. Amen. In the resurrection at the last day. That is a promise. Amen. But Jesus gives another promise. And he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me.
Right.
Notice what he says here, and this is often maybe left out. We put in the believeth in me part. Put that back up there for a second. Verse 26. Look at this. Whosoever liveth in me. Right? Whosoever liveth in me and believeth in me. Right? Liveth and believeth in me. Living in him. Has my life, is in other words, what he's saying. Whoever has my life shall never die.
Amen.
Amen? Not that the body would never die, but that soul would never die. Oh, brother, sister, if this is all we had in our Christian walk, this is enough. Amen. This is enough to praise him.
Amen.
This is enough to thank him
Amen.
For. This is enough to honor him, give our entire lives for him, for just this one promise. But we have so much more. Amen. Do we believe it? That was his question, not mine. That's what he's asking you this morning. Believest thou this? Amen? That's a good question. That's a question for all of us. That's a question that is being asked by the Holy Ghost through all the ages. And he's asking it this morning to you. Amen? What is your response? Do you believe this? Believest thou this? That whosoever liveth and believeth in him will never die? Believest thou this?
Amen?
Amen? Do we believe it? Do we live like it? Amen? Are we living with eternity as our horizon? Amen. Are we living a life now that shows that we believe that? You know, probably right around the early 2000s, around the turn of the century, if you could put it that way, you know, I was really getting started in, you know, my sort of my career and workforce and things, and was starting to put money into to my retirement funds, right, at that time. That's when I started doing that. And at that time, and I imagine they still are doing the, I know they're still doing the same thing, but at that time it was kind of a newer thing that they were doing, where they had these retirement funds that that you could just put money into, and they would title it with the year that you plan to retire. So in other words, if you were, you know, you looked ahead and you said, okay, I'm going to be retiring in 30 years or whatever. You know, they had year 2000, I'm going to be retiring in 30 years. They would have a fund that was titled 2030, the year 2030. Retirement fund. And you could put your money into that, and they would adjust that fund for as you got older, you're supposed to change how you invest and all that, right? Not to bore you with all of that. But the point of it is that they called it a target fund, right? The target was your retirement date. You were targeting that date, and you were putting your money in there looking at that date as your target. The way that you were living your life, amen, as you were going through working and all those things and striving, and you were putting forward, you were planning your retirement with this target in mind. Amen? Well, they called that your horizon. Well, what is our horizon? Amen? Are we living with eternity as our horizon? Amen? Well, our target date is far, thankfully, is far beyond 2030.
Right.
That's coming up a lot quick. Back then, that seemed like a long ways away. Now it's just right around the corner.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
And that wasn't my date, by the way. I don't remember what mine was. It was further out, I'll just tell you that. Amen? But you see that the way that we live our life shows what we're looking towards.
Amen.
Amen? It shows what our target is, what our horizon is. And brother and sister, if we are eternal, we should be thinking like eternal people. Amen? Jesus was not short-sighted. He was looking to eternity. He lived his life looking to eternity. Whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you live like this? That you will never die.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, going back to our original prophecy in Genesis, we know that in order to bruise the heel of the serpent, he had to first go to Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. He had to pay the price. He had to be the sacrifice. He had to satisfy all, he had to level the accounts against us. He had to pay the debts. Amen. He had to clear the liens against the title. Any allegory that you want to use, right? Clear the accounts. He had to satisfy the law that was against us. He had to do all of those things and be our kinsman redeemer. He had to be that sacrifice that took our place. Amen? He had to take our sin and shame upon him. He had to receive death on our behalf. The death that he experienced was meant for us. That's what we deserve. Amen? But I'm thankful that that wasn't the end of it. Amen? There's more to that story. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit."
Amen.
Amen? He died in his body, but he was alive by the Spirit. By which, in other words, by that Spirit, that living, quickened Spirit, also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Amen? Now, he's not speaking about he went into a jail somewhere in Jerusalem. Right? He died and he went and he preached to the spirits that were in prison that had died bound in sin. Amen? Hallelujah. The prophet dramatizes this, and I'd like to read this is a little lengthy, but we'll go ahead and read these statements here just to get a, he gives us a nice picture of this.
Amen.
Amen. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. For an Easter message this morning. He says, "I can see him as the heavens and earth are turning black." They were turning black because darkness was falling.
Right?
"The rocks belching out of the mountains." There was a great earthquake. Amen. "The whole heavens, the moon, the stars refused to shine. He conquered it.
Amen.
And when he went down, descended down, and knocked at the door where those lost souls was, when the doors came open, those people who had laughed and made fun of Enoch, and who had made fun of Noah." I'll just say this, what about one who offends one of these little ones?
Right.
Amen. We should never laugh and make fun of the things of God. "I can hear him say, 'Oh, I am that one that Enoch said would come with tens of thousands of his saints. Why didn't you believe Enoch?'" Amen. Enoch was a witness and a testimony against them. And he said, "Why didn't you believe him?" And on the last day, the judgment is set. There'll be those that will stand before the judge. And he'll say, "Why didn't you listen to this one?"
Right.
Why didn't you listen? They lived a life before you. They were a testimony of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That sister that refused to look like the world.
Right.
She lived a life before you. Why didn't you listen?
Right.
Why didn't you believe Enoch? Why didn't you believe Noah?
Right.
Everything had to know that he'd conquered. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
When he shut the door on them, the days of mercy was past. And on down to the lowest pits of hell he went. And he knocked at the city doors of the devil's hell. And the devil come to the door, and as we looked to see, and there he said, "Well, here you are after all. I sure thought I had you when I killed the prophets. I was sure I had you when I had John's head cut off in prison. But now, after all, you've got here." The devil was so pleased. Amen. And Jesus had him right where he wanted him. And I can hear him say, or I can hear him as he says, straighten himself up. Said, "Satan, I'm the virgin-born son of the living God. My blood is still wet on the cross.
Yeah.
I've paid the price.
Hallelujah.
I've conquered.
Yes.
Amen.
And I've come down to take over.
Amen.
Strip you of everything that you have. Claim that you have."
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He came down to take over.
Right.
It didn't belong to the devil in the first place. He just had a claim on it.
Right.
He reached over to his side and jerked those keys of death and hell off of him.
Amen.
Kicked him back into the place where he belonged.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I don't think he was gentle about it either.
Right.
Kicked him back into the place where he belonged. He conquered hell.
Yeah.
And when he rose, he had the keys of death and hell hanging on his side.
Right.
So listen to this. After knowing that, he says, "So what's the church scared about then?"
Right.
Amen.
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 Are you scared of somebody who just got his teeth kicked in? Got humiliated and defeated by your king?
Right.
Amen.
Amen. You know, in the old days when the armies would face off, they would have a champion, right? Like the story of David and Goliath. But they would be led by a king. And they placed a lot of confidence in that king. And if the king had already beat up the other guy, you know, you'd walk into that fight like, we already know what's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
What's the church scared about?
Right.
He conquered Satan.
Right.
He conquered sickness.
Right.
He conquered death.
Amen.
He conquered hell. Amen.
Amen.
I'm reading it here. He's on his road out. Amen.
Yeah.
He's on his road out.
Amen.
He's beaten and he doesn't even know it.
Right.
Remember, there's some more faithful that went on too.
Right.
They were in a place called paradise.
Yeah.
They could not go into the presence of God. Because they had worshipped under the shed blood of lambs and
right.
goats and so forth.
Right.
And it never divorced sin, it only covered sin.
Right.
That's it today, friend. You can't cover your sins and get in.
Right.
It's got to be rid of.
Amen.
And there's only one thing that'll do it. And that isn't your church.
Right.
It isn't your baptism by water. It's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That covers sin and divorces it.
Amen.
The only means of conquering there is through the blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And then I want to read, he dramatizes it again in another message here, Hebrews chapter 2. It says, "And to see him when he died, till the moon took a nervous prostration and the sun went down in the middle of the day. And when he went to the regions of the lost, he knocked on the door and the door swung open. The Bible said that he preached to the souls that were in prison that repented not in the long suffering in the days of Noah after he had deceased on this earth. My brother, my sister, when he deceased, his earthly work was not done, or was done, but he was still working. And he's still on the job tonight.
Amen.
Amen. He knocked at the doors of the lost. The Bible said he did, and he witnessed, I am the seed of the woman.
Amen.
Amen. What's he speaking about? That prophecy in Genesis.
Right.
I'm that one, is what he's saying.
Amen.
I am he that Adam spoke of. I am the one that Enoch said would come with 10,000 of the saints. I'm the Son of the living God that you sinned away your day of grace. But it was prophesied to you by the angels, Enoch, Noah, that I must come to fulfill every word of God's Bible.
Amen.
And I'm here as a witness in this land of the lost. And he preached to them. On down into hell he went, right down to the doors of hell, and knocked on the door. The devil opened the door and said, I got you now. But he jerked them keys from his side and said, you devil, you've held the bluff long enough.
Amen.
Or for a long time. Here it is right in the Bible. I'll get to it in a minute. You've held the bluff for a long time, but I come to take
Amen.
Over. He grabbed those keys, kicked him back in, and shut the door.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come through, and then he picked up Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And on the third day he arose, and those that slept in the grave arose with him. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder the poet said, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. Someday he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts with Christian fellowship, the love of God. And when he rose, he wasn't finished yet. He had some more work to do. Hallelujah. What a Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Death thought he had him. Instead, it was death that was defeated.
Right.
Amen. New life was starting. He was innocent. Sin couldn't hold him. Hallelujah. And he was working for you and for me.
Amen.
He was doing it on your behalf. Amen. When he went to the cross, he was thinking about you. He was taking your sin. When he went down to hell and took the keys of death, hell and the grave, he was thinking about you. He was doing that for you and I. He broke through the darkness. The cloud that had hung over mankind. Amen. That cloud of death. He pierced through it. The cloud of demons that had polluted the heavenlies, he pierced through it.
Amen.
He made a way through it. He made a way for us to go through it, following him, through him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Matthew 27:51, and this is the scripture he was referring to there. It said, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. Man, that must have been quite a earthquake. Rocks are splitting apart. And the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went, excuse me, and went into the holy city and appeared unto
Amen.
Many. Amen.
Amen.
The power of that resurrection loosed their chains. Broke them free.
Amen.
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 They were believing unto him.
Right.
They weren't even under the blood of the Lamb. They were under the natural blood of bulls and goats and the animal sacrifices. But they were looking for him.
Yes.
By faith, they were looking to see him. Amen?
Amen?
They had desired to see the Messiah. Think about Simeon. You know, Simeon, he was the one that the Holy Spirit came to him and revealed to him, you're going to see the Messiah.
Amen.
Before you die, before you pass away, your eyes, you'll see the Messiah. And he did. Amen. He saw him there in the temple. He saw Jesus, the Son of Man. Amen. And he was so satisfied that, you know, he said, now I can go on in peace. And God had fulfilled his word to him. But all the saints had desired to see God's salvation. Amen. They were looking forward to the Messiah coming. They were under expectation. They had been waiting by faith. Amen? Amen. And think about it, brother and sister. Their expectation was met. Right. Amen. They went down into the grave in what the Bible calls Abraham's bosom. They were in that place. They were in that holding place. They couldn't go on further because there was no atonement made for them. But they because of their faith, they weren't bound in hell with the other sinners. They were just in an in-between holding place, right? They call it upper Sheol, right? In the scripture. But they were expecting to see the Messiah, and he didn't disappoint them. Amen? Amen? Simeon got to see him again. Yes. Amen? But Abraham finally got to see him. He lists them off. Noah. Hallelujah. Noah that had preached. Amen. Elijah. Elisha. Abraham. Isaac. Jacob. They expected to see the Messiah. Their faith was holding on to that promise made in Genesis. There's coming a seed. Amen. That's going to change this. I don't know how it's going to happen. Then a prophecy comes forth in Isaiah. Behold, a virgin's going to conceive. And they knew a little bit more, but they were still looking forward and holding on to it. Hallelujah. Amen. And finally, those that had gone down into the grave, they saw him.
Amen.
As he began to set them free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The rapture of the Old Testament saints was on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That first rapture. What do you think happened to them after they went into the holy city and appeared to many? They didn't just hang around. Right? They were changed. Hallelujah. Our prophet likened it to that rapture of the Old Testament, just like there's a rapture coming for the new.
Amen.
Amen. There's another one coming. Where the resurrection power of Christ will loose chains.
Amen.
He'll loose the chains of this sinful body and he'll break forth the saints that have gone by the way of the grave out in a resurrection. And he'll change their bodies. Quicken this mortal body is what the Bible says. Is that right? They became witnesses to the power of the resurrection. They went into the city and were appeared to many. What do you think they told them? what did their presence mean? What was the significance? For those that saw somebody, an Old Testament saint that was resurrected, what would it mean to them? What's the significance of it? That the power of resurrection was demonstrated right before them.
Amen.
Amen. They were witnesses to the resurrection. They showed themselves to many as a witness and saying that he is God. He is Christ. He is who he said he was. He has the power of death, hell, and the grave. Death could not hold us. Look. Here we are. I'm a witness. I'm the proof. Amen?
Amen.
What is a witness? A witness is somebody said, this happened. It's true. I experienced it or I saw it with my own eyes. I'm a partaker of it. I'm an eyewitness. Amen? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Job. Amen. We've seen him. He's alive. He is the resurrection and the life. I'm proof of it. They all could testify, Christ is risen. Because the Bible says they came out of the graves after his resurrection. And they testified, Christ is risen. The grave is empty. The tomb is abandoned. And he rose up and he witnessed to many. He was seen among his brethren, seen among the disciples. His followers and disciples, they saw him. They broke bread with him. They communed with him. Amen? Remember the story they told Thomas. Man, we've seen him. He's risen. And he said, I won't believe it unless I see the prints in his hands and I touch and I feel the hole in his side. And then Jesus appeared to him. And that's a different ballgame altogether, right? Amen. He appeared to him. Suddenly Thomas is like, Jesus is like, you want to touch me? I don't have to. Amen. He says, you can if you want. Touch my side. See my hands. But instead Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Amen. I believe.
Amen.
Amen. And then Jesus said those notable words. He says, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are they that believe that have not seen. But something calls out to them by faith. An unseen force. Amen. Something calls out in the deep. Call it to the deep. And something in their soul rings out when the word came across their path. And they said, that's nothing but the truth. And the Spirit of God came and witnessed to them that the resurrection is true.
Amen.
There is a resurrecting power. Amen. Amen. Thomas was a witness. And he said, I believe my Lord and my God. But blessed are you who've experienced the resurrection power and you haven't seen and yet believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says this. This is Paul. And we're going to read a little bit more later on here in 1 Corinthians 15. But I just wanted to highlight this one verse. It's a striking verse here in chapter 15. It says, if in this life, Apostle Paul speaking here, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. In other words, if our religion, if our experience is just limited to this natural life and then we die and that's it and it's over, he says, we are of all men most miserable. And then in the message Investments, Brother Brown says, we've got to have an experience of a death, burial, and resurrection from our old life to the new life which comes in Christ. And it only comes by the Holy Spirit, the new life. So Paul just says, if there's no resurrecting power in Christ, then we're miserable because all we've got is just a set of morals, a set of rules. We've just got a powerless religion. And brother, sister, that's what most people have. Amen. It's what the religious people of Jesus, they had. Many of them didn't even believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees sect didn't even believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe the resurrection. That was part of what their differences were. At least the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, yet they had a form of godliness without the resurrecting power thereof. Amen? It's what religion is without the power of Christ. Is we are miserable. Because it only lasts. It can only go so far. Amen. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the church to give us resurrection life. That's what it was given for. So that we have hope of Christ more than this life only. Amen. When I was driving here into church, we go by, so on the way, we go by, what is it, four churches? on our trip from our house to here. I think the way we go, there's several churches all along there, and we always get caught in the traffic and so forth. I was coming in a little early this morning to prepare, but there's a Catholic church right down the road from us, right where you guys live there. And there were already people parking out. I mean, both the lots were full, and there were people parking out on the main street and walking across to get into the church. Yeah. And I guess probably they had like an early mass or something because of Easter, but you know, I just was just thinking about that, you know, that whole, where did that come from? That whole idea of, well, we only go to church on Easter, or we only go to church on Christmas. And look, I'm not, that's the way a lot of my family was for years, right? Especially many of the Catholics. Some were more faithful than others, but some of them were just, that's what they were. Easter and Christmas, and I suppose there's one other day, and I can't remember what it is, but that was their experience, right? Well, you know, I was driving, trying not to hit anybody. Because they're parking and running across, you know, the road and trying to dodge traffic, and I'm looking at these people and I'm thinking, you know, normally they probably don't go to church, right? This is an odd thing for them, in other words, right? They're out of place. They're gonna show up and you know, so many people will be new and they don't know anybody and they don't fit in because they're just there out of a duty, or they're just there because it's a day on a calendar, right? They have a form of godliness, but they haven't actually experienced the resurrecting power of Christ. See, and you know, people treat it like a doctor. You know, a doctor, you know, if you're keeping up on your doctor visits, you go once a year maybe, or whatever it is, right? Maybe a couple times a year, once every couple of years, you go to the doctor, and if you need something, you know, you have a problem, maybe you go to see a different kind of doctor, right? And people treat church like that. Well, you know, I just got to show up. This is my, you know, going to my doctor visit and do my annual, right? My annual checkup, and you know, maybe I'll do a follow up with, you know, and then let me get about my life, right? But it's not that, brother, sister. Although He is the great physician. Amen. And His word will diagnose any problem that you have. Right. Amen. And He does have the answer. Right. But this is a relationship.
Right.
Amen. Amen. He's a living God. And He desires us to be in a relationship with Him. Right. This is not a, oh, we just come once a year and you know, it's Easter and we, you know, we have all the pretty flowers or whatever, right? Enjoyed the choirs singing this morning. Amen. We appreciate those things. Those things are all good. Amen. But it's a relationship that we're in with Jesus Christ. That's why we say we honor the resurrection every Sunday. That's why we come to church on Sunday. We honor the resurrection. Amen. We are living in His life. As I said before, it's not just believing on Him, but living in Him.
Amen?
Amen? That is our life.
Right.
That is our source of life.
Amen.
His resurrection life is our source of life.
Amen.
And without that, we are miserable.
Right.
Amen? Why? Because we have no future.
Right.
We have nothing.
Right.
Without that life, you could try to live like a Christian. You could try to come to church. You could try to have a form of religion. But you'll just be miserable. Amen? But we are to have the evidence of resurrection life. The church is supposed to show that and produce the evidence of the resurrection.
Right.
The life of Christ is the proof of his resurrection.
Amen.
And that life is living in a people.
Right.
Amen. Amen. From the message Jehovah Jireh. He says, that's the way we've done to church. We've made it pretty. And we've decorated it with denominational tinsel. But it ain't got no life in it. It can't produce that Bible rhythm today. It can't produce the evidence of the resurrection of Christ. It's a hybrid affair. Better dressed people or better paid, bigger denominations, richer of the Laodicean age. Exactly. Rich, have need of nothing. Know not that you're, like Paul said, miserable, wretched, blind, poor, naked, and don't know it. Amen? And there's many people today in message churches that are wretched, miserable, wretched, blind, poor, naked, and don't know it. There are many people in all sorts of churches today that are miserable and wretched and blind and naked and poor and don't know it. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Amen. And raiment that your nakedness did not appear. Come and receive that resurrection life.
Right. Amen.
Amen. The early church was the evidence of his resurrection. They were the witnesses. They were the ones that had to tell everyone that he is risen.
Amen.
How do you know he's risen? They raised the dead.
Amen.
Amen. They had the evidence. They were resurrected to new life. He was living in them.
Right.
I mean, even just in the resurrection of the body, we had Tabitha who was raised from the dead, right? We had Eutychus who was the young man in the window that fell. He was raised from the dead. And others, many, many others recorded in history where the resurrection power of Jesus Christ raised them from the dead. Amen. So much so that in Irenaeus' time, it was spoken and it was said that it was not uncommon.
Right.
Amen. To see a dead person raised from the dead.
Right.
Amen. And a dead person brought back to life and healing itself was an everyday occurrence.
Amen.
Right.
In that church. That is the resurrection power on display. Amen. This resurrection power is how we experience him today. Amen? He's alive. He's a living Savior. We don't serve rulers or creeds. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. Like that song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen? Hallelujah. The light is pushing out the darkness. Life is pushing out death. It's a bubbling fountain. It's not a stagnant pool. It's life. The resurrecting power of Christ is life in the church. Hallelujah. Let me just read you a few more quotes here and we'll finish with these here this morning. Awakening Jesus, he says, let us remember also that he created our bodies. So won't our bodies obey his command?
Yes.
Spit out that cancer,
yes,
he says to the body, and away it goes.
Yes.
You just take that word and plant it in there and see what happens.
Yes.
Sure. Yes, sir. Our bodies has to obey his command.
Amen.
You say you're a Christian. I believe you are. You believe. What are you resting in? Someday he'll raise up our bodies after they've absolutely, completely perished.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, then why do you go to church? If there's no resurrection, aren't we among men most miserable? But his word of promise, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. I am the resurrection and life. Amen. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last days. My. Why? The body, the ashes, the volcanic ashes that we're made out of, obey his commands because he's the creator of it. The life that's within us is not only a creative life, but it's part of his own life. That's the reason we have authority to speak to a devil. Because it's God's own creative life. If you're anointed, see, correctly, not you. It's not you that speaketh, but the Father that dwelleth in you. Take no thought what you'll say, just because it'll be added at that time. Just go on and stay with it. Oh, I love that.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Easter seal, he says, the real gospel glows with power. Eagles hear that. They don't look for a shine, they look for a glow. Glowing with humility, glowing with love, glowing with power. That's what the real eagle hunts. You can't scratch in a barnyard and please him. So he's drawing a contrast between an eagle and a chicken in a barnyard, right? An eagle flying high. He says, you'll never be able to do it. You'll never touch him because he doesn't believe it. Let that voice scream from the heavens. I am he that was dead and is alive again, and something takes place. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it'll come to pass in the last days. I'll pour out of myself onto all flesh. Right? That's what he is calling out today, brother, sister. Glory to God. I'll quicken your mortal language. I'll quicken your mortal tongues. I'll give you the evidence that I'm going to bring you in the resurrection with me. Hungry-hearted eagles just reach for that as hard as they can. It's the pearl of great price that they sell everything else to go buy. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I love that. Amen. Hallelujah. He said he would give us that evidence that the resurrection is in me. Amen. And then the token message, he says this. He says, the Holy Ghost is the token that we have been pardoned. The case is closed. That every man and woman has truly has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that he's been tried. He's identified with his attorney, with his judge, and with his sacrifice. And the token he holds in his possession shows that his trip is paid to glory.
Amen.
Amen. Your case has gone before the judge. The case has been tried. Amen.
Amen.
The case has been closed. And you can go free.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And he gives you the token to prove that your case has already been tried.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why do we retry the case? Why do we allow the devil to try and relitigate the case? When you've got a token that says it's already gone before the judge.
Amen.
Amen. He gives us that Holy Spirit. He says, it's all over. He holds the token. It's his. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the witness of the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You believe that? That's your identification. You're holding the token. Now, if you haven't got that token, you'll not be coming in. You must have it. You must have that token.
Amen.
That's a required price. When I see the blood is the token. When I see the blood, I'll pass over. You must have it. Must have the token. If you don't, why, you won't go. You've got to have that token.
Amen.
Amen. But and he said that that spirit is the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when he gives you that token, you become a witness.
Amen.
Of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You become the evidence. Amen. You become the one that speaks. You become the one that says, I was dead, but now I'm alive.
Amen.
Amen. I was dead in sin, but now I've been made and quickened. I've been changed. I've been made alive. I've got the evidence. I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm a witness to that resurrection. Amen. Like those saints that were in prison and they were set free. They were a witness. I was there. I was down in that place. I was locked up. I was chained. But now I'm free.
Amen.
I'm a witness. Amen? That he's here today, that he's here right now. I'm a witness that he is risen. I'm a witness that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's read this 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. And we'll just close with this. It's a little lengthy scripture reading, but I think this will put a bow on our thought here this morning. Let's all stand as we read it here together. The musicians would come. Paul says this. He says, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" There were those that were still disputing it, right? But he said, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain." Now, as he's going through these negatives, the opposite is true.
Right?
If there is resurrection from the dead, then Christ is risen. And if Christ is risen, then our preaching is not in vain. But he says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain. And your faith is also vain. But he is risen, so your faith is not in vain. He says, "Yea, and if that's the case, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not." If there's no resurrection, that couldn't have happened. "For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yet, and you are yet in your sins." You call yourself a Christian? You call yourself, what are you even believing? If you don't believe that Christ raised, what are you even believing?
Yeah, right.
Right? Is what he's saying. That's why, you know, that's one thing that I look at Christians who believe, that call themselves Christians, that say they believe the Bible and they don't even believe that God still does the things in the Bible.
Right.
What are you even believing?
Right.
Why even believe the Bible? Well, it's only this part and that. Well, he says, if that's the case, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So, and this is the one we read before, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's a pretty bleak picture, right? But that's not the end of the story. He says, but, now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that slept. He was just the first of many.
Right.
He was the one that proved it, showing what the rest would be. That's what a first fruits is. Of them that slept, in other words, those that had gone to the grave. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. This is encouraging. Amen. Amen. We can rest our faith in this morning. He says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. And then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He has power over death right now. But death is working for the program. And when death's program, or when the program, when it's finished, and he doesn't need it anymore, then he'll destroy death.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But even now, brother, sister, death has lost its sting. It has lost its permanence. It has lost its effect. Amen? One day it's going to lose its job. But right now it's lost its effect on a believer. It's lost its sting. Because now death just transports us. Amen? But one day, no more death, as life fully takes over.
Amen.
The last vestiges of darkness are finally pushed away. All is restored where it's just life. And all are made alive in Christ Jesus. But in the meantime, brother, sister, we're witnesses. Amen? We want as many as we can get to come and to receive that resurrection life. I'm so glad he's coming back for me. I know he's coming back to get me. Amen. And we need to be able to say that for ourselves. I know he's coming for me. I know that he's going to take me with him when he goes. And if my body goes to the ground, I know that grave is going to give up my body. Amen. And I will be raised in newness of life. Amen. There's coming a day soon, brother, sister. That first rapture is already over. And the next one is right in its cycle. And it's coming soon. The bodies of the saints will be raised. And we will be changed.
Amen.
In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we will be with him forever. What a hope, what a joy. Amen. Amen. Witnesses of his resurrection. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we are so thankful this morning, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful that when I read what your servant Paul said, Lord, how miserable and how our faith would be in vain and how frustrated we would be if there was no resurrection, that we don't have to experience that, Lord. That is not our testimony, but our testimony is hope and joy and a looking forward to great and wonderful blessings to come. And it's all because of your life, Lord. Your resurrecting life. Where you took death, hell, and the grave. Take possession of that, Lord. Took the stinger out of death. So that we could say, I'm alive. By your Spirit, I'm alive. No, not this flesh and blood, but in my soul. I've received newness of life. Lord, we want that for everybody. Think back to my own testimony. It was an Easter Sunday, just like this one. And I knew that I didn't have that life. And I knew that I needed it. And I wanted it. Lord, I came before you broken, humble, but confident, Lord. That you had promised it to me. Lord, you met me on that in that place, Lord, right there. As I bowed my head before you and asked for your Spirit, Lord, to come into my heart and fill me, Lord, with your eternal life. And Lord, you did. You met me there, Lord. On that Easter morning, that Sunday morning service, Lord. And I've never been the same because I'm walking in your resurrected life. Lord, I want that for everyone. I pray, oh God, that you would just move, Lord, on hearts this morning. Lord, if there's someone here who hasn't experienced you that way, Father, may they just reach out right now. Say, Lord, I need that. Lord, I need you. I want you, Lord. I don't want religion. I don't want rules. I'm not looking for anything that man has conjured up, but Lord, I want you. I want your life. I want that resurrection living in me. I want that power, that life that defeated death. I want that in me, Lord. I want that down in my soul. I want that newness of life. You just reached out to Him this morning. You call upon Him. Hallelujah. He's here this morning. And He wants to give it. He wants to give it more than you want it this morning. But you just reach out to Him right now as we pray. Lord, I pray that You would just touch each one, Lord. Lord, those that are reaching out to You, Lord. Lord, I know that's all You're looking for. You're looking for a surrendered heart, a humble heart. Let's say, Lord, I need You. I need You, Lord Jesus. I see what You've done in others, Lord. There are witnesses to me of a resurrecting power, and I know I don't have it, Lord, and I want it, Lord. I pray that You would touch them right now, Father. Lord, those that are reaching out to You, Lord, I pray that You would touch them. I pray that You would meet them right now at their seat, Lord. May there come a change, Lord. May there come life. May there come a relationship, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord. You promise You'd never leave us or forsake us. Lord, when You make a promise, I know You're good for it, Lord. You hold up Your end of the bargain, Lord. You're so faithful.
Amen.
We love You. We appreciate You, Father. Thank You for the hope that we have this morning. So many people are walking this life without hope. Just marching on to a dead-end grave. But yet, Lord, we have a hope. A hope of life eternal. A hope of a marriage supper with You, Lord. A hope of glory in heaven. A hope of a new heaven and a new earth. A hope of a new body to enjoy it. Praise Your name, Lord. Your word is true, Lord. Lord, I just want to reaffirm, Lord, I believe Your word. I believe Your word is true. Well, sometimes we struggle. Sometimes the devil fights us with unbelief. We fight a mind battle. But I believe Your word, Lord. I'm holding on to it. Just like those Old Testament brothers and sisters that were holding on. And one day You came, Lord. You busted them out of that prison. One day You're going to bust us out of this old pest house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. How we love You and honor You, Lord. There's no one like You. There's no one worthy of our praise like You. There's no one worthy of serving like You. Lord, we want to live every part of our life to You. We want to surrender, Lord. Father, every part of our lives. Let You be King. King Jesus on the throne of my heart. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. It's in Your name, Lord, we ask these things. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, can we just worship Him this morning? You don't have to die.